Well, hello, everybody. Today's Saturday, November 9th, 2019. Welcome to our Contract Trust Conference Call. We are not accountants, tax professionals, lawyers, or currency dealers. We are not engaged in rendering legal, tax, accounting, or other professional advice. Should you require those services, you should retain competent advice from a professional in that field. So thanks again for joining us today. My name is Carol Worlius, and my associate Jim Knox and I have these calls every second and fourth Saturday of the month. These calls are recorded and available on our website, indicatorinformation.com, iqds.com, and YouTube. iqdcalls.com and YouTube. As we get closer and closer to our expected RV, we thought this would be a good time to review our common law contract trust and why we think it is the best vehicle for you to protect your assets. As always, your questions are welcome. Now, we have learned that we may, and I stress may, be at the banks next week. This is what I learned yesterday, and some of you are already probably familiar with this. This is official from Nick Fleming. Money is beginning to flow in Reno. Church groups and foundations are becoming liquid, as well as individual Tier 4A luminaries in Wales. There is a meeting going on yesterday at 3 p.m. to decide the release of the 800 numbers, either yesterday or no later than Monday. Tuesday is exchange day for our Tier 4B. Hurrah, hurrah. Please spend the weekend putting together a plan on what you're going to spend, how you're going to spend the money, how you help your family, community, and projects. It will determine your exchange rate. So everything is ready. Be calm, cool, and collected. Also, the military, with Interpol and the Chinese, will be completely in charge of the exchange for a smooth process. Good luck. And some additional information, a quick review. Chinese are making sure this happens and no more delays. After the 15th, the U.S. will lose all the perks from the Zoom exchange. But he said Tier 3 and large church groups are exchanging right now in Reno and being made liquid. Tiers 4A and B will be getting the 800s possibly today, but might be Monday, and we'll set up exchange on Tuesday. He's pretty sure it's set, done, and meeting right now to determine when to release the 800s. So that's fantastic news. For those of you that haven't heard it, I'm glad I was able to share it. And so, you know, if you're still with us, without jumping up and down for joy, let's talk about trust. You know, you've no doubt heard of various kinds of trust, structured payouts, group rates, NDAs, 800s, etc. Even with the best of intentions, these same people on sites are stating that no one knows the actual rate or date of the RV. And actually, this Fleming that I just read to you, he's not calling rates either. He said they won't let him. Same as to taxation. I have heard everything from put aside 50% for taxes to it won't be a taxable event either federally or by the states. Personally, I think putting aside 35 to 50% is a good idea. If it's taxed in the year, you have the money to cover it. If it's not taxed, you have a bonus. Until the official rules of engagement are made known, we recommend setting all these rumors aside. We're not gurus, but assure everyone that there will be time and orderly arrangement made known to all of us from various sources. Just be ready. You know, as to the trusts themselves, people have asked, why should I establish a trust rather than continue owning currency in my own name and social security number? Owning anything in your own name and social leaves your assets exposed. If you were to exchange in your own name but have an accident or heart attack on the way home, all that money would be at risk, would be taxed at the federal rate of 40% after the $5.49 million exemption. The assets could be tied up in court for years, and your family may not see any of it for a very long time. Having assets in your name leaves you wide open for lawsuits and others wanting you to part with your newfound wealth. On the other hand, if you exchange into a properly crafted trust and then have an accident or heart attack on the way home, the assets remain in the trust with no probate or estate taxes. It will be managed by the successor trustees that you have previously named. Jim, you want to take over for a little bit?
Where are we at? I was number, just sitting down.
Okay, number four.
All right. There are lots of talk out there about other kinds of trusts. Why is a contract trust so superior? Most other trusts are statutory in nature, meaning that they get their power and strength from locally, usually the state, enacted laws. They're often recorded in that state or the county, thus you have no privacy. They are sometimes required to pay a state recording fee every year. This is also true with most corporations, LLCs, and the statutory trust. The contract trust that we employ is a creature of common law. It gets its power and benefit from the U.S. Constitution. Most states require recordation only if the trust is actively involved in commerce. This guarantees your privacy. You don't have annual recording fees. The benefits of the contract trust are many. It's created by contract. It's valid in all 50 states. Completely personalized. You have your financial privacy. Trust owns assets. You don't. It's suitable for business and personal use. You manage the assets. No government registration. An agency of commerce. It avoids agony of probate. You enjoy constitutional rights. There's no inheritance or estate taxes. The tax advantage is unbelievable, really. It's renewable life. In other words, every 25 years, you can renew it. That's why we put it in 65-pound stock paper. You may avoid capital gains with this trust, corporate advantages without incorporating. Serves as a prenuptial agreement. Judgment-proof assets limits your liability, may reduce income taxes, minimizes self-employment, does have lawsuit protection, does not register with most states, creates artificial poverty, tax-free startup, works with limited liability companies, avoids Medicaid and Medicare issues, business plans are all private, may operate as a business or holding company, both legal and equitable titles stay in the trust, it's got a proven court history, and it's irrevocable or irrevocable. We have an ongoing battle, folks, with some attorneys. It's irrevocable. That's how they say it. No, it's irrevocable.
Irrevocable, right.
Why are contract trusts so ideal in controlling versus personally owning assets? Well, as many of you know, the trust we use is technically a business trust. Many of them have had issues with bankers not understanding what a business trust is. They ask for an incorporation or LLC paperwork and a business license. We decided to make it simple and refer to it as a contract trust. In fact, it is the same business trust with all of its many advantages. At the creation of the contract trust, you irrevocably exchange your assets, in this case, your currency, into the contract trust. You no longer own them. But you have complete and autonomy, control in managing them. You don't own the asset. No one can make you, or no one can take them from you. And on that, I want to make a little side note. We encourage you, whenever you sign a document, when using the trust, you sign as trustee and not as otherwise. That's a limiter. I've been doing it for years. And what that does is it tells the public that, hey, I act as a trustee. I didn't act as myself. You can't come after me. Otherwise, you have to go to the trust. So it works very, very well.
It's very easy to do.
Yeah. And I do that on any – if I ever write a check, I do that on the checks, any contracts, any – sometimes even on just when I'm writing letters to people about the trust, I'll put that in there when I sign my name.
Yeah, a long time ago, one of my clients had a stamp made, acting strictly as trustee and not otherwise, and it's, rather than writing it out, they just stamp it every time.
That's true. That will work. I prefer writing it out because the court looks at that and say, well, that was premeditated that you put that behind your signature, and it wasn't already on the paper. In other words, I was making double sure they understood that my intent was to do this as trustee and not as otherwise. Depends on the court you go to. Okay. Where was I at?
Number seven.
Yeah. What is the difference between an irrevocable and a revocable trust? Well, an irrevocable trust cannot be changed or revoked. You exchange those assets, period. They are no longer yours. A revocable trust can be changed or terminated at any time. Because of this, the IRS may invoke the clawback provision, putting your assets back into your estate, where they can be added to your personal estate. Very important consideration at tax time. Why are banks, attorneys, and CPAs more familiar with a contract trust? Well, it kind of, why aren't they? My bad. Why aren't they? Well, the contract trusts are common law. Common law and rarely taught in our colleges and universities anymore. Some attorneys are aware of the Massachusetts contract trust, but once in place, they make no money from them. It's been said that the file cabinet is full of irrevocable living trusts or the attorney's retirement. That happens to be true. I've got a cousin that's an attorney, and that's what he does, by the way.
And I had an attorney tell me the same thing.
All right, number nine. As trustee of the contract trust, you retain full management, control, and benefit of the assets of the trust. There is no one between you or your money. You may name your spouse as a co-trustee. One or both of you can become executive trustees, allowing one to act on behalf of the other. You may name your children as successor trustees. You may designate one or more successor trustees, specifically that they both become trustees at the same time, or one goes before the other, or if one wants to go before the other, you can change this designation anytime for any reason. You can add a bloodline clause to ensure that your family's generational wealth does not fall into other hands. That's becoming very common with us. We've seen that people requesting that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You can also add a spendthrift clause so no one can hypothecate or pledge his or her possible shares of the trust income. That's also very common in the trust. We do that request. Some people are concerned that there is a conflict of interest between you being your own trustee. Well, once you exchange your assets, you no longer own them. By the terms of the trust, you are eligible to become the trustee. We feel that if you are able to put those assets together, you are probably and most logically the best choice to continue to manage them. Can a successor trustee be changed due to unforeseen circumstances? Easy for me to say. That person or person can you should be that person or persons can be
persons, yes.
Yeah, can be changed at any time for whatever reason. We can also add a spendthrift clause to future trustees and certificate holders aren't compromised or obligate their assets of the trust. You can also add a bloodline succession clause if you desire. There are several ways to enjoy the benefits of taking money out of a contract trust and using these funds and income with the least amount of personal taxation. You can take a salary or draw. The amount can be whatever you determine or whatever you need, and you can take it at whatever intervals work best for you. At this point in time, it will be taxed to you as a 1040 or maybe a 1099 income that may change post-RV. And we're not going to talk about the IRS right now. I was going to, but I'm not.
Well, you can. Go ahead.
Well, we've been hearing that the IRS is going to go away. You know, this is rumors. We also heard that the Federal Reserve is going away, which I think is a rumor, but I still think that it will eventually go away. If the IRS goes away, then we have to have the legal lawful tax, which is imposed on everybody. And that simply means it has to be nothing more than a sales tax. So there's rumors that it would be somewhere between 13% and 17% on anything you buy brand new. When you buy used, you don't pay tax on. Housing and food and wages will be exempt. So 17% sounds like a lot that you're going to add to the price of a car or a house. But then again, you're not paying any income tax. You're not paying any sales tax on your food. You're not paying, you know, your utilities, everything should be exempt. So it's going to be a lot less. And if you don't buy new, you don't pay that 17% tax. And for a Scotsman like me, we probably won't buy too many things new. The trust can pay expenses going on, not just typical items like telephone, internet, and car expenses, but business trips, etc. Be sure to look at some property, pick up some brochures, and a business card on your next trip to the Caribbean, and now it's a write-off. As a certificate holder, you may have the right to a distribution. Your motherlode trust can fund additional trusts to purchase and hold property like real estate and vehicles. This is not a taxable event. You may also borrow from the trust, which is not a taxable event. You can lend money to from the trust or make a gift if you feel one is deserved. Can I add other assets to the contract trust, like real estate, along with foreign currency, or do this later? Well, we strongly suggest you keep other assets separate from that, what we are like to call the Mother Lode Trust. Your goal here is to keep this trust and its assets totally private, known only to you and your wealth managers. And there's when you go to the bank, you want to tell them you don't want this thing to be used as a test account. You don't want it to be used for training. You don't even want the tellers out front to ever see the account. You don't even want to list on the screen. You want to be able to go into the bank. In my opinion, you want to go into the bank, and request your wealth manager, meet with them, and make the exchange from your mother lode trust to other trusts so you can do what you need to do. But the mother lode trust will never be seen by any other banker other than your wealth manager. That's how I'm setting mine up.
As am I.
Having there, it's going to startle a lot of people. And then, if the teller sees it, she's going to make a comment to her husband or somebody about it. Then all of a sudden, your name's out there as being rich. And you know what? For me, most people don't know this, but I'm disabled. I have a tough time getting around. I have to use a cane. I can't run. My left side of my body is messed up, spinal cord injury. I am a prime candidate for a kidnapping. I mean, I can't get away. I can't defend myself. So I have to keep my wealth extremely confidential. All right, going on. Additional trust for real estate and other assets can follow later. Number 14. What other trust do you offer? We have many secondary trusts. Some have chosen to use a secondary trust as a bank account trust. This account will receive funds from the mother lode trust so that it can function as your purchasing or lending arm. Hypothetically, it functions much like the branches of a tree. It is more exposure, has more exposure, and it is easier to break or penetrate. But it is an account that connects to some levels of the outside world. Place adequate funds in this account to easily cover your prospective purchases and to cover several outgoing expenses for easier manageability.
View
your trust as an entity that can lend money to purchase large ticket items like vehicles, land, and homes, and to disperse funds into other areas of your trust organization. It will fund other accounts such as charitable trusts, real estate trusts, vehicle trusts, investment trusts, management trusts, etc. It can also fund your personal checking account for daily and personal expenses. Meryl, you want to take on for a little bit?
Okay. You know, right now, pre-RV, you don't need all those trusts, but post-RV, you will want them. You know, as one might imagine, taking care of all of the mundane issues dealing with ownership could be very difficult and time-consuming. For that reason, we suggest using a management trust, as Jim just mentioned. The trust will have its own EIN and bank account. The trust has full power to dispose of the properties and complete control over its management, such as paying insurance, maintenance, repairs, upkeep of home and property, etc. You can do the same. You could have one management trust for all of your real estate, whether it's personal real estate that you're going to live in several places, or you're going to have rental real estate, or you're going to buy a house for your mother to live in. Your management trust can take care of all of those issues. The same thing holds true with cars. So you can have a vehicle management trust to take care of all of the licensing and all of the gas and the maintenance and the new tires, et cetera, et cetera. You know, and as trustee, you still control the assets in those trusts and the income that they produce. So, you know, we talked about the management trust on our last call, and we've gotten very, very good response to it because it just makes so much sense. As Jim mentioned last time, we've been doing it for years, but for some reason just never thought to follow it along the same track as what we're trying to teach you. So it's a very good way to go. Gives you a lot of advantages. You can consolidate, and as he said just a little while ago, when you set these other trusts up, especially the management trust, make sure you put enough money in it. You know, it's not even a bad idea to have enough money in it that it is invested somehow and the money keeps regenerating itself. So, Jim, that's pretty much the end of the program. You were going to talk about pricing and our special offer?
Yes. In fact, that's why I had you take over, so I could roll up and get the page set up in front of me, the website.
Oh, okay. All right.
So, folks, we have 3itrustapp.com. That's number 3, lowercase I, the word trust, and then app.com. 3itrustapp.com. You can also go to Indicator Information Institute, or indicatorinformation.com, and you'll see a big red banner as you scroll down, and it says, go here for the applications, and you can go there, and it comes right here directly to this. So what we've done is we've got our new website fully functional, and at the bottom, you can use your credit card to pay for it. So we got all this stuff working finally. We had a company come in and give us a little hand on that part, the setting up the financial end of it was a little bit over my experience, so we just had a company come in and did a great job. We'll be doing a lot of business with them in the future, I'm sure. So right now, 40% off on all of our trusts from October 30th to November 30th, or the RV, whichever comes first. So if you're going to get your application in between now and the RV, if it's going to happen Tuesday, you better get it done this weekend. We'll honor it if you get your application in. So right now, the basic contract trust is only $1,995. It's now $1,200. We'll take $500 down, and I guess what, $700 later, a month later.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll do that, and we'll even ship the trust. Do it, and ship it when you get our initial $500 payment. So now I don't know how we're going to do this, Carol. I just realized with that, each one of these pages is set up for a specific fee. I don't think you can change the fee here. So if they're going to do the terms, they're going to have to call me or you, and we'll have to manually process that.
Okay. It sounds like it'll work.
Yeah. And that way, and I think, which we have not finished up with, we haven't had a chance to test this yet, but I think you can actually submit. You can't submit without paying, I don't think. I don't know. We'll figure this out, folks. We didn't anticipate having this sale when we set this up. So,
true.
So it kind of, we'll work it out. We'll figure it out. But anyway, that's what we got going on. So we have on there the applications for the standard trust, the management trust, the real estate trust, an automobile or equipment trust, and the charitable trusts. And we have a place there below in the menu for change order. If you need something changed, you can submit an order to us, and we'll get on it. And then we got some instructions, how to log in it, III, how to register it, III, and instructions to use Indicator Information website. So there's not a lot there. I'm getting more and more put on here as I realize some of the issues that people are having, and I've been able to add quite a bit to this last 4 or 5 days. So if you get confused on how to log in, you can come back over to here, and I actually have pictures. You can see on the picture how to do it. So with that said, Carol, what else do you want to talk about? Should we open up
some
questions? Well,
one of the issues I know that we both hear about is people cannot get onto the website. They've lost their invitation code, or they can't remember their password. I know Jim has spoken with most of you who have some of those issues, and we remind you that we have very, very strong passwords because we've been hacked, what, 3 times, Jim?
3 times.
Yeah. And we strongly recommend that you use RoboForm to save your passwords. It used to be you get 10. You could save 10 for free, but now I think it's an unlimited amount for home use. Believe me, folks, it makes your life so much easier. You have one master password you remember, and everything else you just click on, it takes you right to the site and logs you in. It's very important. We're just trying to keep it as close to the vest as possible because this is your website. It's designed for our clients, not necessarily for anybody else who got a trust from somebody else and needs to write them in it. This is for your benefit, all it is today. All the website is for your benefit. I'm looking at the Q&A board here, and it's absolutely empty. If anybody would like to ask a question, please just press *6 to raise your hand, and we'll answer it or do our best to answer it.
If they have a comment or want to add something to this, they have to be a question.
Yeah, that's right. You know, anything you'd like to add is fine. I think.
And if you know any rumors about the RV, we'd love to hear them.
There you go. Oh, here we go. Well, welcome, Relia. Really. You made it to a call.
Hi.
Hi. Welcome.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you got some new stuff there that I'm not familiar with, I guess, this new management trust. You know, I've got several trusts already, Carol, and I'm not sure how to access them, if the management trust would, how it would benefit what I have already.
It would just make it easier bookkeeping-wise. A lot easier bookkeeping-wise. And for the number of real estate trusts that you have, I think it would be a wise addition and make your life a lot easier.
Well, explain, other than it manages, would manage all my real estate, but can I go, I guess I just should go online and read more about that. We've all got a lot on our plates, and I haven't been to your website.
Okay. Well, if you no longer have the invitation code, just drop me a line, and I'll send you one.
Oh, let me write that down. Ask,
just email me.
You just talked about that, and I wasn't aware of the code. Okay, I'll do that because I want to understand what this management business is about and how it can benefit. So it's just, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, okay. All right. And years ago, in some of our literature, we called it a maintenance trust, but management really does make more sense.
Okay, but it's, I guess I'll just better go on and read it because I'm not quite understanding how it can manage, say, my real estate trust. I don't understand.
Yeah, okay, just go ahead and read it. And what's cool about this is we also provide a minute for you to add to your real estate trust, like if you already have it, like in your case you do. And the minute authorizes real estate trust to contract with the management trust. So we have that end covered as well.
Wow.
All right, just go ahead and read it. You'll get more off of it from reading it.
My brain is just not wrapping around it yet, so I apologize.
No problem. Anything else on your mind?
Pardon?
Anything else on your mind today?
Oh, no, not for the time being. I'll just see if somebody else asks questions that will help me too. So thank you.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
All right, thanks, Julia. Nice to hear from you.
Uh-huh. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye. Valda, are you there? Hello?
Hello.
Hey, Valda, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you doing?
Well, thank you. What can we do for you today?
Okay, that lady just spoke, asked the question that I was going to ask. But let me ask something that probably might clarify it a little bit better for me. If I have a house trust and a car trust,
uh-huh.
Management trust, would that mean that I put money in that management trust that would take care of the expenses for the car maintenance in the car trust and also money that would take care of the maintenance of my house repairs and all that for my house trust? Is that how that works?
It's really designed for people that have multiple real estate trusts, multiple pieces of property, and multiple cars. If you just have your one house that you're going to live in, your one car or two cars you're going to drive, you can just operate out of those trusts. But, you know, I know several people are planning on having several different houses, and one of my clients is planning on buying 28 cars. So it would be very, very difficult to manage on an individual basis. But the management trust can consolidate all of those payments. So all of those payments are for licenses and insurance. They can all come up in one trust. In your case, only about one house and one car kind of would you agree?
Oh, I think your voice is breaking up a little bit.
Okay.
What you're saying is if I have many trusts and it's difficult to manage them, then I would have this management trust that would take care of the expenses for each of those trusts.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. I have another question. So if my car trust, if I had an accident and I'm sued, is there any way that there can be any link to, you know, from the car trust to the management trust, and the funds or the monies in both trusts be accessible to somebody who sues me?
Okay, they can only, then Jim, you might be able to answer this better than I. They can only go after the owner of the car, which is your vehicle trust, and you personally. So if you have if you have the car in one trust, but you have all the management funds in another trust, they can't go after that because they're working together by contract. Would you agree, Jim?
I would agree. Yeah, if you, the idea of the way I run mine, anyway, let's put it this way, the idea that I use is I only want one checking account, and right now I have that set up, and so it's a trust, it's a Wells Fargo, and I use the debit card and the checks from that to pay all my bills. And also, if I have cars in trust, well, the other day I had to do some repair to one of my cars, so I just did a minute saying that I was going to have these repairs done in my trust. Actually, it's just in my ledger. And then I went ahead and I had the management trust paid the bill. So I have money in there. So instead of me having an account in my automobile trust, I don't have a checking account in my automobile trust. And I have multiple automobile trusts. I have more than one car. And I just contract with a minute and then a small one-page contract to my management company. And I put the money in there, and it takes care of it. So when I funded my trust for my car, I put an extra $1,000 aside, and I put it in the management trust. And so it's kind of like an escrow company. You know, an escrow company will be cutting checks for various projects, and they'll just put a notation in the check for what project that check was for. And that's what I have, the two-piece check. So you have the top piece, and you have the bottom piece where you put the notation. And that's how I do mine.
Well, so that means the management trust is solely responsible for maintenance expenses.
Correct, because the vehicle trust paid the management trust the money.
Okay.
Actually, it contracted to have the management trust carry the money in its general account to be able to write checks to pay the expenses.
Okay, so that kind of make it unnecessary to have a lot of money in the, let's say, my car trust or just floating around just like that.
Right, and then what I have done in the past is if I have a little extra money left over in that trust, I will invest. The reason I've been investing in currencies, of all things, can't you imagine?
Where would you ever get that idea? My goodness.
I know. Come to me one day.
Yeah.
All right. So then what it would mean then, I would estimate how much it would cost to maintain the car for my cars for a specific period of time or estimated period of time. And then I put that amount of money in there. Say, let's say for 3 years. And then put that in that, that's how it's working. And it's the same for the house, the trust for housing.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then if you have payments on anything, which we shouldn't, after the fee, you could actually put enough money in the trust to make the payments if you want to do it that way. But making payments and paying compound interest is foolish if you have the cash.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much. But that helps to clarify my understanding of the management trust. I have another question, and this has been kind of bugging me for a while, and I'm not sure how I would work this out. I want to set up, you know, trust for my children. I have one already that I purchased, but I am trying to figure out how best to do another trust for my other child without having to get all of that money in my name when I exchange. And I'm not too sure how best to do it.
One suggestion. What I'm doing, I'll give you an example of what I'm doing.
Okay.
This is not legal advice. This is my advice. This is what I'm doing. I have multiple people that I am, well, my brother, for an example. I'm managing his estate. He's got some medical issues, so I'm managing his estate. So he has a trust.
Okay.
So he has X amount of our currency in that trust.
Okay.
My motherlode trust borrowed that currency, put it in the motherlode trust, and it will exchange it. And then I will pay the loan back in the new value to his trust. Now, that went to the management trust, but it was a borrowed amount of currency, so I didn't own it. I simply facilitated the exchange for him for that trust, and then I paid the money back in the new currency in a bank account for them.
Oh.
So that's how I'm setting mine up. So I have an arm's length contract to take that currency from that trust and exchange it for him. And then he opens a bank account, and then we take the cash and transfer it because it's a repayment of a loan. And that's a tax process. And repay the loan in the new value in his bank account. And then he has his debit card.
Okay. That's interesting.
Yeah, Jim, I think we put sample contracts on the website, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. We got to put some more on there, though.
I haven't been. I went to the website once, and I'm not sure I can get in again. But anyway, I'll try.
We'll get you back in there if you can't. Just let me know. There is probably 300 minutes back there and some contracts and all kinds of stuff inside the website.
So what would you call this contract on the website?
Well, I don't know exactly where it's at. I'd have to find it. It's just one that it's in there, some of the financial stuff. I'll have to find it. I'll probably go in there later today, I won't do it today. I got too many things to do today. But sometime in the next 4 or 5 days, I will make a new tab that will say Management Trust. And then I'll start adding stuff into there. I haven't done that yet. We've just been swamped and slammed with getting this new website put together and taking care of the business. We are running in circles.
Okay. So the trust, the contract between to exchange for a new trust would be, a sample contract would be made available under the management trust.
Yes.
Okay, that's what you do. Okay, so if I go in, like, say, maybe Wednesday or Thursday, I might be able to see that.
Right. I should have it done by then, regardless.
Okay.
We have an exchange. It won't take me long. I just got to get this weekend. I've got trust to send out yet today. So.
Okay. All right, great. That sounds good. And one question about that money that my trust A would contract to exchange for trust B or whatever. Would that attract any kind of taxes?
It shouldn't.
No.
Because we don't pay taxes on money. You know, if you borrow money, you don't pay taxes when you get the loan. When you pay it off, you don't pay taxes. So it should not be a tax.
Yeah, and when you create a new trust, you don't pay taxes.
So because it will be a loan that's being repaid, then it wouldn't attract taxes.
That's right, and that's why I set it up this way, because my brother needs the help, and he doesn't want to pay taxes just because we're doing a method to get his cash into the thing, and I certainly don't want to pay taxes on money that's not mine.
Okay. That's a very interesting concept. I've never thought of anything like that, but it sounds like something that will work. Okay.
Well, I've been doing it now for 14, 15 years. It's worked so far.
Oh, my goodness. Well, thank you very much. That answers a very puzzling question that I had, I try to go and look at that as soon as possible. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Have a great day.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Okay. Charles, how are you doing today, my friend?
Doing well. Carol, how are you? You sound a whole lot better.
Don't I know? It sounds like you be doing better. Yeah, feeling much, much better. Thank you. So what can we do for you today?
Well, let me holler at Jim. How you doing, Jim?
I'm doing well. How did you get on here? Jeez,
I'm these people that know what they are doing with trust, and I trust them because they really have helped me. So I decided that I would call on to see what they were saying because they always got something good to say.
Well, it's always a pleasure talking with you. We tease each other a lot. We talk, folks, quite often, Charles and I. We have a lot of fun. Well, some of the stuff we're doing now is, you know, and again, it's old school to us. We just never thought about bringing it forward, but this is how we've been managing our stuff. And I was concerned recently because we had so many questions about how do I move money? And that's the simple part. The hard part's getting it. Once you get it, you know, it's moving it around from trust to trust. You can just do it with contracts. So are you going to set that up, right, with your stuff?
I sure am. Carol and you and Carol have taught me. I had a couple of questions that are probably going to fall along that line.
What?
Just scenario-wise, I probably will later on down the road. But we were talking about the maintenance trust on the last call, and you guys are still hammering on it, which I think is good because it looks like we're close.
Sure does. Yeah.
Well, that thing's about to happen, so like the closer it gets, the more this information becomes a reality. I know to me it does because it's actually getting ready to have to actually execute what you have learned. So the first question is, let's say if I purchase a jet, we deal with the maintenance trust. So I'm just tickled pink over this maintenance trust. So my maintenance trust will take care of the gas, the insurance, the pilot fees, whatever is associated with that jet. My one maintenance trust would take care of that completely.
Yeah, each trust has a contract from it to the maintenance trust. And it does what the contract says to do, and you harbor the funds. So you can actually, instead of having a bank account for a real estate trust, you can just use the management trust. You don't ever have to have a bank account for a real estate trust. You're going to use the management trust. It cuts the check for the payment, insurance, taxes, repairs, anything. Anything.
Man, that is awesome. So the idea that I have is I'm kind of getting the general picture. And I plan on setting my maintenance, because I have several trusts. I was glad you all mentioned about it's ideal for people with more than one trust because you just got one pivot point to deal with for several trusts, no matter what the business is. So my goal and my plan is to adequately make sure I fund this maintenance trust so it will cover all the areas that I need to cover in all of my other trust that I have, plus I will make sure within me funding it that I have enough in there to set up an investment to continually replenish that trust on a yearly basis so it will actually be ran by itself from the investment and I never have to worry about trying to scrape or pull or push anything because it becomes self-efficient with the investments that I make. Is that, are you guys, am I right?
Well, 90%, you're 90% there. 90%, which is good.
The 10%. I'm missing. Well, finish it off, because that's as far as I got.
All right, well, here's what I would do. If you're going to have investments, I don't know if I would be, I don't want to use the word commingle, but is almost that way. So if I'm going to do some investments, I have cash sitting around, and I want to do something with it, and I want to have it dedicated to a specific project or projects, I would set up a separate trust and I would make it in, you know, use it for investments. And then I would have my real estate trust, I would have a contract with the maintenance trust, and I'd put a bunch of cash in to cover everything. If you want to put that to work, then you have a contract from the maintenance trust to another trust to invest. And then it invests that amount of money. Okay? Now, the reason you do that is you don't want to take and have the maintenance trust put in jeopardy because it's covering a lot of things. So you want to have another system. It could be a corporation, an LLC. It could be a trust. It could be whatever you want to do. And then that trust would have your Ameritrade account or something like that where you could invest or do whatever you want to do.
So keep your investment separate through trust.
Well, you want to separate it out a little bit because you don't want to put all your eggs in the basket that you may drop.
Okay.
You know, if your management company, if all of a sudden your investments go bad, well, now you don't have the money to pay all those bills. So you want to be very, very careful. And there's ways to get around that.
Okay.
So, but if you're going to do investments, don't do it out of the management trust. It's not designed for it.
I got you. I got that. I'll put that down. I got that part. It'll help me. Just little tidbits like that help me. My second question is, I have a brother-in-law that's in stage 4 cancer. And he is struggling for his life right now. He's alive, hopefully, prayerfully. The RV will come in time, but I would like to do something for him. I want you and Carol to tell me, am I thinking along the right lines as far as having him taken care of with the hope of just breath being in his body? What I was thinking about doing, two ways that I would take him on one of my trusts as an employee and give him an employee benefit package. And in that package, you quite naturally, it's going to include insurance for the different things. I'll send him out of the country for the kind of need that he has with the cancer that he has. I was going to take him on as an employee and give him an employment benefit package. That's what he would have part as far as taking care of him going. Well, he'd probably be going to New Mexico. That's where I would send him for his treatment for as long as he needed to get him back from where he is now to where he needs to be. Second of all, I was thinking of I could create a trust for him and have him to operate out of his trust to do what needs to be done. That was just a cool scenario that just came before me. I didn't have a direct clarity on either one of them, because I didn't know whether one would work and the other wouldn't or whatever, so I wanted to run it by you guys to see what you had to say.
It depends how much money you're going to put into it. If you're putting quite a chunk in there for his medical purposes, you may want to do a separate trust. If you're just going to bring him as an employee in a benefit package and then use the insurance that you acquire, then you could do it as an employee. Because you can give him a nice benefit package.
Yeah.
Nice package.
Well, I wanted to do some things for him. This cancer hit him probably about 2 or 3 months ago, and it changed the whole game. I was gonna give him a trust anyway. Have a trust made out for him, have him train, do what he was gonna do, and let him manage it. And it was gonna be a significant amount of money that I would put in it to take care of him the rest of his life. So are you saying the better route would be through the insurance or just from the funding of how much money I will actually fund that trust with to override anything? It's going to be expensive, but I think he's worth it.
Well, you can do both. Mm-hmm. You can buy him an insurance policy for maintenance after the fact. And, you know, remember now, if you're just buying the insurance right now, he's already has this cancer. They may not cover it, so you're going to have to pay for that out of the trust.
Yes,
but then you buy an insurance policy and start letting it mature. You buy it right away for him and start working with them to where anything comes up after the fact, it'll cover it. You know, seems like people that have cancers, they come up with all kinds of diseases after the fact. And, you know, they can win all of them. But so that's why I say an insurance policy is very advisable for later dates. And for me to get insurance right now is almost impossible because I have a predetermined condition. So I have to pay most of my stuff lump sum, and then I have Medicaid, Medicare, which doesn't do a whole lot because of me. That's my mess I'm in. So you have to consider future issues with his health. So that's my advice. And it's, it's not legal advice. It's just my advice how I'm doing it. My brother's good at it. I got him set up with an insurance policy.
Well, that's what I'm thinking, because I want to make sure he's covered real good so I can do everything that I know I could do, whether he stay here or whether he pass. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I know that's going to cost money for where he's going. It's not cheap. So I appreciate you guys giving me, advice. I understand you get good advice. And I'm going to pursue it in that way.
Okay, perfect.
Thank you, guys. You guys are the best.
Thank you, Charles. Take care.
Okay. Hey, you too. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you.
Okay.
Let's see. Gary, how are you doing today? Gary?
Yes. Hey, Carol.
Hi.
Good. How are you?
Doing a lot better than last time, that's for sure.
I have a question for you and Jim. It's just a procedure thing. I think I understand how to handle this, but I just want to run this by you. When we go into the bank to exchange our money, I'm going to initially have the money put into my Motherlode account, and then I'm only going to take half of that money that's in that Motherlode account, put it in a secondary account for investments or buying a car or buying a home or things like that. But I'm going to keep 50% of it in the Motherlode account, in a non-interest-bearing account, just to keep it there safe in case there's a tax issue. I thought that might be a good way of doing that. However, if you're going to invest your money, then we'd be talking to the bank about, after we accept the exchange rate that they're going to give us, they may offer us like 5% or 6% or 7% per year on our money. If that's the case, and if we take that, then there's no reason to work with a wealth manager, is there, because we don't have any money to invest because we've got it tied up with the bank, because I'm sure they'll have a contract for a year or 2 years at this percentage rate. Am I thinking correct?
I think you're probably going to want to work with a wealth manager anyway, at least for the first year. What do you think, Jim?
Yeah, I agree with that. That's about what I was going to say. The wealth manager is going to be more than what you think. They're going to be offering you all kinds of things. They're almost like going to be like a concierge also. They're going to be able to get you deals that you won't be able to get in other places. And if you need things done, they'll see how to get it done. And you'll have plenty of help, because I firmly believe that most people are expecting to walk to the bank, walk out with millions of dollars to spend tomorrow. I don't think that's going to happen, folks.
I agree.
I think they're going to give you some time. They're going to give you some training. They're going to put some limitations on what you can buy. They don't want you to go out there with the lotto mentality and blow it all in the first month. So I think we're going to be very – I'm not, but I think a lot of people will be very surprised at how much control they're going to assert on your money initially.
Okay.
And it's going to be for your benefit.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, because I couldn't straighten that out of my mind how to handle that and how to work with that. And if I wanted to diverse funds into other banks, how would I do that also?
You just open the account and have a bank-to-bank transfer.
Yeah, and you're still going to use the same trust and the same tax ID number. You just have an account at a different bank. Yeah, that's all.
Okay, all right. Maybe I'm trying to make this more complicated than what it actually is.
Well, no, you're not. The issue is we don't know what we don't know. It's my favorite expression nowadays since I got involved in this RV. Don't know what we don't know. If we had all the facts, we'd have all the answers. We don't have all the facts, so we don't have the answers. It's speculating right now. And we'll know in a few days, I hope.
I hope
okay.
so.
well, thank you.
All right.
Okay, you're welcome. Okay. Let's see. I don't know this name. Area code 847?
Hi, Carol. This is Bob. How are you?
I'm well, Bob. How are you doing today?
All righty. You sound a lot better.
Yeah, I feel a lot better.
Yeah. And hopefully you can hear me all right. I'm always on the on the kind of a microphone. I'm at the library on every Saturday. So I rarely get to talk to you in person. I always try and catch the replays. But I just had a simple, hopefully a simple question for you. As far as your successive trustees, is there a limit as far as the number of people that you can put on that or have your successive line?
There isn't a legal limit, but there's a practical limit. I mean, I've had people that have five children, they want to name them all as successor trustees. Getting five people to agree on anything may be a bit of a problem.
Okay, let me just tell you the reason I ask in that.
Okay.
And I just happen to think, and this may sound morbid or whatever, but if I had my grandchildren and then I was going to put my kids and their spouse as their trustee until the grandchildren get a certain age, but they always travel together and you hear these plane crashes or whatever. What happens if the whole family gets wiped out? Or fire or anything, or they're incapacitated or whatever. What happens to the trust if all the trustees are no longer available?
Everybody involved in the trust, including all the successor trustees, are all perish. There's no sense in worrying about it. It just goes, I don't know. Carol, where would it go?
I'm just thinking the same thing. You know, in cases like this where you cannot determine the proper succession, you can take the trust to a court of competent jurisdiction and let them choose the next trustee. It's actually in the trust itself that says that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because if you ever get a situation where everybody's wiped out, well, probably should have been traveling together anyway. But the point is, you just don't know. If everybody gets wiped out, then a court can find somebody. You can put in there a letter of wishes that says something to the effect that if there are no trustees or no successor trustees available, I want this entire state to go to some charity.
Mm-hmm.
And that would hold.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I didn't know how to phrase the question without sounding, morbid. But
no,
have to think about those things.
Yeah, I had never thought about it. I mean, that took me by surprise. I'd never even thought about that. I'm probably going to add now to my own letter of wishes if all the trustees and all successor trustees are not available, then just give it to Humane Society or something.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
You got to be careful not to tell anybody about that. You might, you don't want to tell anybody. If you write that, don't tell people about that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. That was a good question.
Most informative. Yeah. All right.
That was a good question. Yeah.
I like it. Okay. Dean, you're up.
Hello, Carol.
Hi.
I'm wondering if I'm in, of course, logged in to indicator information, is there an easy way to go to the 3i.com, or do I need to go out and go into it?
No, you can go. If you're logged in there, just scroll down on the main page, you see a red bar. Okay, and then you'll see a click to go to that website, whatever it says. If you right-click on it, you should be able to open another window, and you can have both open simultaneously.
You say there's a red bar?
Let me look here. Yeah. Now, let me pull it up real quick. Just take a second for me. I'm just going to go as a citizen here and see what I find. Yeah, there's a red bar. So if you scroll down below the first window, the main window, then you'll see the blue one that says, would you like to receive a contract business trust information package? Right below that red bar, it says the application for all our trusts are on 3itrustapp.com. The application's here. You click that. If you right-click on it and say open in a new link, now I've got 3i Trust opened up and indicator. I can go back and forth.
Well, somehow I'm missing it. Is that from the home page?
Yep. I'm on the main page, the home page. Just scroll down. You'll see a red bar going all the way across.
Okay. Okay, and it says application here?
Yep, the application here, if you right-click on that and then the window pops up, you just tell it to open in new tab. Now you can have both websites opened up and just go back and forth between the two.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. That makes it a lot easier. One other question. What is the resident agent, what's his duties?
In a corporation, LLC, you have to have a resident agent, somebody that is qualified and willing to accept mail from the state and federal governments. That's pretty much, and they have to be available for service. In other words, if they need to be served, they have to have an address to go serve the resident agent on behalf of the corporation or the LLC. They receive that legal notice and notify the corporation LLC officers, hey, you know, you're being sued. Come pick up the paper. That's basically what it is.
Okay. Thank you, Jim. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay.
Thanks, Carol.
You're welcome, Dean. Okay. Rob, what's on your mind?
Am I on?
Yep, you're on.
Okay, Jim and Carol, thanks so much. Doing a great job again.
Thank
and,
you.
Just kind of wondering, like, who do you follow that you can truthfully trust on news about the IRB?
That's a good one.
I try to word it, you know, just that way.
Personally, you know, there's so many people out there, and some of them are by invite. Most of them are actually by invitation only. My feeling is the information they get is probably correct when they get it, may not necessarily be correct by the time you hear it. It may change the next day, you know, and that, I think that's what the issue has been, don't you, Jim? That so much does change on a daily basis.
Right, because we don't know what questions to ask. It goes back to my favorite saying, we don't know what we don't know. So you know, no matter what news service or source you get, they're relying on their people, which are relying on their people, which are relying on their people. So it's kind of like, you know, I don't know if you ever played the game when you were in school, you know, in first grade, somebody whispers a secret in the ear of the next person that goes all the way around the room. By the time it gets back, it's not even close to what their first secret was.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. That's
kind of
where we're at with this thing.
And I do believe they are all trying to be helpful and giving us the most updated information they have. But, you know, like Jim said, we don't know what we don't know, and they often don't know. So a lot of them, as I say, are by invitation only. And if you're not on the list, you don't get an invitation. I think you can listen to Mark Z. He's usually pretty good. And Fleming is usually pretty good. I think you can find both of them on YouTube. I'm not positive, but I think you can find both on YouTube, and they're both pretty good.
And you said Fleming?
Nick Fleming, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And the other one was Mark Z.
Okay. And do you think that Trump is in control of a lot of this?
From my understanding, is he's already signed off on everything.
All right. He's not necessarily behind pulling the trigger.
I think that stage is long past. He's already, from what I understand, he's already signed off on it.
Okay.
And it is in the hands of the Chinese now, because we waited too long.
It's in the hand of the Chinese, huh?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And the Chinese need this to happen.
They need it, I think, worse than we do.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, I hope this week is it. Of course, we've all heard deadlines, and we've passed. I don't know if I can count that high.
I know it.
Over the years, right? Especially this year, even.
Oh, I know. Every other week, it's done, it's done. But everything I've read in the last couple of days, I really do feel very confident that now is the time.
All right. Fabulous, fabulous. But we won't hold you accountable.
I hope not.
No. But we'll shout a hallelujah to you if it does go, for sure.
There you go. All right.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rob.
God bless all of you.
Yeah, okay. Don. Don, area code 417.
Everything is called management trust. It handles everything.
Don, are you there? I can hear someone in the background.
Yeah, this is me.
I can't hardly hear you.
Hi, Carol.
Can you hear me?
Hi.
Yeah, that's better.
Yeah, that's better, yeah.
Okay. I've tried to get into your website, and I'm having trouble getting in. And it's been so long since I contacted you. Can you give me some idea how I get into your website? Is it info@indicatedinformation.com?
No.
No, that's my email. Jim, you're the website guy. Can you help him out here, please?
Yeah, I will. It's indicatorinformation.com.
Okay.
Indicatorinformation.com.
Got that.
All right, and then on the main screen, there's these pictures that change, and there's words slide across. And there's two buttons that don't move. One says click to log in, and this is click to learn. Well, click to learn just sends you to an application to get more information. So you want to click on the blue and says click to log in. You click on it, and then it takes you to a page that says member login, existing users log in. You put in your username and your password, and it log in, and it goes right in.
You know, I'm not sure what my username and password still is. Can you help me with that?
Yeah, but I don't want to do it on the phone. We don't want this out there. You know, you can call me direct today if you want, and I'll walk you through it and get it set up. But we don't want to do this live.
No, that's for sure.
What do I use for your phone number?
503-583-6791.
Okay, now, let me ask you another question. My wife wasn't able to be in on the first part of this conversation. How do I listen to the recording? When will the recording be available, and how do I log into it?
Carol?
I send it right over to IQD Calls, so you should be able to get it on IQD Calls probably within a half an hour after the call is over with. It's also on YouTube, and you'll have it. I know, Jim, you're putting them on the website, but I don't know what your schedule is for that.
Well, right now, on the main menu, the last one, the lower bar menu, it says conference calls. If you click on it, it takes you right to IQD on the Internet, and it'll be here this afternoon. It'll be on here this afternoon, and you can listen to it.
Okay.
So we have a link. Now, we're loading all these ourselves and putting them in our server also. It's just taking a lot of time. If Carol wasn't so talkative, my God. I mean, there's 90s?
Yeah, I think we're at 93, something, 96, 93, something like that.
Yeah, you know, so I have a lot of work just to try and get, because it takes about 2 minutes per audio to convert them over to my website and put them on the website. So it takes about 5 to 6 minutes per video. So I'll be at it for a couple of days.
Okay.
But the quickest thing is going to be iqdcalls.com.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because they're on within a couple hours of us getting off the phone. They're up and running.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Okay. Rob, you're up.
Yeah. Jim and Carol, another just a quick question is the VND. I'm assuming that it's still going the same time as the dinar, and any idea on price? I know you mentioned before, but I didn't know if there's any changes or anything like that.
On price?
Yeah, I know.
If they are of value, I
want to go out and buy some.
Yeah.
But what's that?
You're looking what it's going to RV at, or you want to go buy some now?
Oh, no, I was kind of wondering about if it's going the same time as everything else or the dinar.
The last I heard, everything is going at one time. There aren't could be multiple baskets like we've heard about, but everything is going to go at the same time, supposedly to prevent double dipping.
Uh-huh. Okay, so you feel confident about the Vietnamese dong. Okay.
Yeah, I heard, and I have heard that specifically, because I had the same question. What I heard, yes, it is still viable. It will be in this first basket.
Great. And what are they saying for an average price?
I don't know. Average price? I don't. A rate? I really don't know. I've heard everything from 47 cents to $2 plus.
If I get a nickel, I'll be happy. That's a
That's all we were hoping for when we first heard about it. Remember, Jim?
Yeah.
Oh,
take the 47 cents, or I'll take the $2 also.
Yeah, either way, it'll work.
The 47 cents would be fantastic.
Yep.
So.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, Manny. Manny, you're up today.
Great call, folks. As I said earlier, Carol, I've been running around doing stuff. I got most of the calls, but I don't know if I missed this part. Just want to clarify something. Now, I have a pass-through account. That isn't it's different from the management account trust that you're talking about, correct?
Yes. Yeah. Pass-through isn't really a trust. It's just what you're going to do with the money when you get there.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah. I got a trust to, I guess that would be the mother load. For the mother load trust. And then what's the trust that I have that goes from the mother load to, I forget the name you guys used to call it. Anyway, I guess that would be the management trust that I have to set up, correct?
We've talked about pass-through accounts, especially for those of us that have multiple trusts right now. I seriously doubt that we're going to have the opportunity to exchange into more than one trust.
I don't get it. Okay,
so
I found this on the
way. Siri's talking to me on my cell phone. I seriously doubt we're going to have the opportunity to do more than one trust. So let's say you've got your mother load trust and you've got the B trust and the C trust, and you want to be able to fund them and it still not be a taxable event. You can do a couple things, like Jim talked about earlier about borrowing currency from his brother and then paying it back in cash. It's one way to fund those trusts. The other way is to put X amount of dollars into a pass-through account, and then when you do meet with your wealth manager, you're going to, okay, Mr. Wealth Manager or bank manager, whoever you're speaking with, I want to transfer from this pass-through account, I want to transfer $1 million to my B trust and $1 million to my C trust. So there's a couple ways of doing it, either with the pass-throughs or we've pretty much decided, though, that borrowing currency from one trust, exchanging it all together in your mother load trust, and then paying the other currency back in cash is probably the cleanest way to do it. Don't you think, Jim?
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Probably that would be, I was thinking because, you know, my ISX, all my shares that I, you know, if let's say I want to, cash out on some of my shares with the Iraqi Stock Exchange account that I have trust, probably the management trust would be the one that would be working directly with that account. Probably it'd be a much better endeavor, I think.
In that situation, I absolutely agree. Totally agree.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to probably have to talk to you about that then after the call or something.
Yeah,
okay.
We'll work it out. All right. Manny.
All right, thanks.
Gene, you're next. Gene?
Yes, hello.
How are you?
Good, thank you. I do have a question about the management trust.
Okay.
Okay, so is that in place of a company such as Abbott Downing?
No, this is strictly for your own benefit. So you have less bookkeeping to do.
Right.
Let's, you know, I know you have a lot of projects, and you've got a lot of different. Let's say you wanted to, and I don't offhand remember what your trusts are about, but let's say you wanted to get into the rental market, and you bought half a dozen different houses or different apartment buildings. Well, each piece of real estate is going to be in its own trust, but then again, do you want to have a bank account for each one of those entities? Now, that's going to get very tiresome and very, very quickly. It's just going to be overwhelming how much you have to take care of. So if each one of these real estate trusts contract with the management trust can then take care of collecting rents, looking after tenants, looking after the buildings, making sure the all the maintenance is up to date, making sure all the insurance is up to date, those kind of issues.
Okay. And then what would Abbott Downing do then?
Well, Abbott Downing and companies like them are wealth managers. They are going to help you maybe diversify. They're going to, if you already have projects like you do, they're going to help you say, okay, the funds are available to put X amount of dollars toward this project, Gene. Is that okay with you? Yes, that's fine. Or we maybe have found a better avenue for what you'd like to do. They're going to, I'm sure, advise you on any investments you want to make, et cetera, things like that. And as I said, I believe every single one of us is going to want to use a wealth management company, at least initially, till we figure out what's going on.
All right. Very good. Okay, great. Thanks very much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Well, Jim, it looks like our queue is empty. So you want to close? Jim must have walked away. So I'll close, and then you can come back.
I'm sorry, but the microphone was off.
Okay, there you go. Our queue is empty, so if you want to do your close, and I'll do mine, and we can call it a day.
All right. Well, I'm Jim Knox. I live in Oregon, and I'm a West Coast time. And the best time to get hold of me is after 9 o'clock in the morning, and I usually work till about 6 or 7 in the evening. So my number here is 503-583-6791. I also have an 800 number. It's 866-341-6907. And my email is security@indicatorinformation.com.
All right. Thank you. Well, thank you all today for your attention. Thank you all for your attention today. I am in the Central Time Zone and usually available from 9 to 5. If this RV does indeed happen next week, Jim and I will be unavailable for a couple of weeks because we have our own business to take care of. We will return for 6 months, but we will have staff available to create new trusts for you as you need them. You can, again, I work 9 to 5. You can reach me at 425-820-8090 or 877-333-5018. And my email is info@indicatorinformation.com. As much as Jim and I enjoy these calls and speaking with you guys every couple of weeks, let's hope we're out doing other business next time. So take care, everybody. Pray for RV. I think we're almost home. Goodbye. Have a good one.